All right, Rabosai, today's daf in Masechet Yevamot, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf. Hey, whew, can't believe it, we're almost finished already. Anyway, where were we holding? Okay, well, we had just figured out 2 days ago that we have the limud of Aleha to teach me that, first of all, there's no din of esedocha lo taaseh by yibum, and that in fact we are not miyabim and erva, and furthermore that there is a din of litzror. But that led us to a question: why do we need a pasuk to tell us that there's no din of esedocha lo taaseh? Why should there be? After all, yibum is an iser. The arayas is an iser sheyesh bo karet. Where did we ever find that esedocha lo taaseh, even though it's an iser karet? Furthermore, once we opened up this Pandora's box about how do we know esedocha lo taaseh for the iser karet, that would be mechayev us the pasuk of aleha, we already start wondering, wait a minute, how do we know bichlal that there's a din of esedocha lo taaseh? So we started by saying that since, according to the Tanit v'Rabbi Yishmael, every time it says a beged, the lashon of beged in the Torah, he learns out that beged by definition means beged semro, beged pishtim, as it defines to us by the din of tzaraas, ba beged, beged semro, beged pishtim. So it's defining for us the nature of beged. So if that's the case, why, according to the Tanna Devei Rabbi Shmuel, did the Torah have to repeat the idea of the beged kelayim shatnez lo yale alecha, together, if we already know that, with lo tal tilbasha nes tzemra ufishtim yachatav, and then we had this gedilim taselach, and that was there in order to explain to us why it is that we would be derei smuchim in this case, even alib the Rabbi Yehuda, because it needs to be muchach, or needs to be mufna. Now, it's important to remember all those stages, because if we didn't have to worry about that, then we would just be dores smuchin without all of this. But assuming that we've got to justify the fact that we're learning smuchin, and so there's many steps to this, assuming we have to justify the smuchin, which we're trying to do to explain why Alib de Rebuta, we're looking for a reason to be dores the smichas of Lotu Basha Nez, together with Gedin and Tasavach, so we found an excuse. And the excuse only works, however, according to the Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel. Because according to the Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel, indeed, the words about Shatnez of Tzemer Upishtim is a given anyway, all the way back in Vayikra from Beget Kilayim Shatnez Lo Yala Alach. Okay, so that's where we had learned out that we've got an esedocha lo taaseh, and of course we still didn't explain how do we know we have an esedocha lo taaseh, even with a iser lav that is yesh bo karet, but we haven't gotten to that yet. Now we're trying to figure out just stam, how do we know esedocha lo taaseh at all? So today the Gemara points out, all right, I mean, this is all very nice, according to the Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel, who says that every time that it says beged, it means beged semra, beged pishtim, and therefore semra pishtim is extra. But suppose you don't hold of the Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel. Suppose you hold that the Torah has to define the beged, and it's not a given that it's always semra pishtim. Now remember that this is not really much of a question, because first of all, the fact that it has to be mufne is only one approach. It could also be by the fact that it's written in Devarim. When it was already written, why not put it together with the Parsha of Tzitzis? And that would be enough of a reason. So we could always say that those who argue with the Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel have another excuse to be able to learn out, even Alib de Rabbi Yudah, that says the Chaloy Tase, from the fact that this appeared in Devarim, which is one of the approaches we took before. Unless, of course, you've got to hold either one or the other. So we're trying to make it at work. What if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda and you hold that it's not enough that it's in Dvarim? It has to be obvious that it's extra, and you don't hold it a ton of the Rabbi Shmuel. Put it all together, and what do you get? That you don't know esedocha lo taaseh. But as you can see, this is not a very powerful kind of question. We're just trying to cover all of our bases. So assuming that we don't have the raya from tzitzit, how do we know that an esa is docha lo taaseh that is not a lo taaseh sheyesh bo kar? Then we'll get to the karet problem after we first prove the basic issue. Well, says the Gemara, we do have another basis, and that is nafka hu mirosho. Remember that we have the whole sugya of a mitzora, and it says vayaba yom hashvi'i yigaleach et kol sa'aro et rosho et zikano et kabotenav. Now, last I heard, the kol sa'aro includes rosho, doesn't it? I mean, why do we have to spell it out? And it includes zikano, doesn't it? So it includes gabotenav. So what is all of this telling me? So therefore, we have to explain that the reason that it says rosho, the Tanya, as it says in the Braita, why even mention rosho? Ma talmud lomar, because it's usher to cut the hair of your head, is it not? After all, it says, lo takifu pa'at roshchem. So if you're not allowed to cut your hair of your head, so that would be true even if you are a mitzora, l'chora, shomea ani af mitzora, okay? So that when the Torah said to cut your hair, it didn't include the head, which would be a lotase, talmud lomar rosho. Therefore, it needs to tell us, no, anyway, cut the hair on your head. Why? Because Esa is derech alois Esa. But wait, is it indeed usher to cut all the hair of your head? Possibly not. Because remember, the fact that the Torah says, do not cut pa'at roshchem, how about if you want to be really mahader and cut off all your hair except for your payas? And then you're making it obvious these payas are what make me Jewish. Well, guess what? According to one man d'omer, then they're not payas because you don't have any hair. So how could these be the payas of your hair? So then you can cut off your payas. So in typical fashion, by being machmer, we end up destroying the mitzvah completely, at least according to one man d'omer. So obviously this man d'omer, if we're saying that we need the rosho for that, must hold that anyway it's usher. And you can't cut off all your hair, even though at that point you're not really cutting off the peyote. So since that is what he holds, I need to know that this is going to be docholotas, the lotas says, kamashma nesa docholotas. Wait a minute, not necessarily. Because even though it's true that in this case, es is docholotas, you cannot make this the basis of a universal lima to that effect for a very simple reason. Is it not true that the lav da hakafa does not apply to women? Doesn't say over there because compared to zikano, right? So the lo tashchit and the lo takifu are basically only for men. And therefore, usually the Torah is more mako on something that doesn't apply across the board. So maybe that's the reason that es is docha, this particular lotase, which is a very weak lotase. But if it's a regular lotase and it would apply across the board, so then maybe ein achinami, we would not say ase decha lotase. So this is not a good raya. Okay, let's move down one step. Et rosho ve'et zikano. Okay, what do you need zikano for? Well, same idea, right? So you might think that even a kohen who is, if he's a kohen who is a mitzora, should not be migaleach. Now this, of course, pasuk appears both by kohen and by Yisrael, but the lashon of specifically the idea of using this lashon of yigalechu appears by Kohen. And besides that, we want to be able to learn out this extra idea of even the Kohen, who is Kodesh, as we'll see, is more Kodesh. So anyway, you might think that a Kohen who is a mitzora should not be mekayim the mitzvah of cutting all of his hair, at least not cutting his beard. Talmud lomar zikano. So you'll say, okay, but I mean, we already explained that that is not a universal limud because it's not a lav sheshava b'kol. True. But then what's the point of repeating the same thing that es is docholosa said on a lav she'eino shava b'kol? I know that already from Rosho. So if you're adding this new idea, the zikano, you're repeating, what are you adding? Must be to tell me that even if it is a lav that would have been shava b'kol, it still would have been an esa docha lotasa. So there is your proof. im eino inyan lalav she eino shave beko, teneo inyan lalav hashave beko. No, not true. Because you see, if I need it for some other purpose, then you can't tell me im eino inyan, you don't need it. But I do need it. Because even if I would have known that it would be esedokolotase, I wouldn't have known it for koani. Because since the Torah is more makbid on koani by giving them additional mitzvahs, and therefore actually even repeats this issue specifically for koani and not about not shaving and so on, so then I would have thought that maybe a koani is different. That's why I need this passage. Don't tell me, well, if you don't need it to tell me that, you could tell me even an essay that would be Shava B'Kol. Not true. I do need it. I need it to tell me this special halacha about Kohanim. So this is not a good mocha, okay? Because Sakadat Chamina, Shaini Kohanim, Ho V'ribabehem HaKatuv Mitzvot Yeterot. So then maybe I would have thought, if it wouldn't have mentioned Zakanam, Afilu Lav She'ena Shava B'Kol, it wouldn't be Docha. Therefore, Kamash Malan, that it is Docha. But still, the most that I can learn out is a lav she'eno shava b'kol. I need to know a universal mocker for esedocha lo tase. Akiva, is Yedidya listening or not? Because I see that you're spending the whole time explaining everything to him. Man, oh man. Okay, so if that's the case, we need another mekor. This is not good enough. All right, let's try something else. We can still look at the same rosho. Suppose you hold, according to the Mandi Yomar, that Hakafat Kol Harosh is actually not called Hakafa. Okay, so then I don't learn out from Rosho this business about, oh, you might think you're not allowed to shave your head. Why would I think that? After all, if you're going according to Mandi Yomar, that shaving your head is not a problem unless you only shave your payas. Okay, so then why do I need Rosho? There's another reason why I need Rosho. Suppose this Mitzorah is a Nazir. Now, what's he going to do now? The Torah said he's not allowed to shave his head. And then on the other hand, he becomes a Mitzorah. And now, is he supposed to shave his head or not? Therefore, I need to mention Rosho. Because after all, I would have thought, the Tanya, Rosho matam b'domen, fish and emar by the Nazir, ta'ar lo yavar al Rosho, do not use that razor on his head, shomei ani af mitzorah v'nazir, okay? So that if that Nazir becomes a mitzorah, he should not shave his head, he should only shave other areas of his body, even though it says kol saro, Talmud lomar, that's why we have to specify Rosho, to tell me that even a Nazir, so there you go, that teaches me that an Eser is Doche a Lotase. No, it's not universal. Because Mala Nazir, listen, a Nazir who's a Metzorah, of course there's always a way out. The way out is he could go to a Chacham and he could be Shoyo on his Nazirut. Now, wherever you have a way out, that is a weaker lot. So if the case is that this is the kind of, I mean, how serious could the lav be if you could just cancel it by making a phone call? So therefore, I understand that a lav like that, that is involved in the possibility of cancellation. Okay, so the Torah said an esa should be docha the lotas. Good. But maybe that's not a universal din, that an esa is always docha lotas. Is not reasonable? So therefore, ikalam bifrak mala nazir mitzorash ken yeshno b'she'elah. Because, look, it's got to be that that's a good question. I'll tell you why. Because, I mean, we have a general rule that even though, in fact, wherever it is that we learn it from, bottom line is that even though an essa is docha lo tase, as is well known, an essa is not docha a lo tase and an ase, right? But a nazir is a lo tase v'ase. It's kadosh ye gadel pera. That's an ase. And Tar lo yavar rosho, that's a lotase. So why don't we learn out from the Nazir that an Esser should be docha an Esser and a lotase? Obviously, because Nazir is not a good example. Why not? Because yeshto b'she'ela. Exactly. So therefore, I've proven to you that it's not a good example. Because if it were an example, then there'd be something wrong with our general approach to the sugya of Esser docha lotase. So now it's quite clear that we are still without a mocker to the din of esedocha lo tase, other than the mocker of the smuchim of gedilim ta'aselach, together with the Lotir Bash, the Shatnez. And we said that that's all very nice if you don't hold according to Rabbi Yehuda. Or if you do hold according to Rabbi Yehuda and you hold according to the Tanna Dvei Rabbi Shmuel, who says that this is absolutely essential to learn from here. And you don't hold according to the Mandi Omar, that says it's enough the fact that it's in Devarim when it should have been in Vayikra. So then we're still, assuming you hold all of that, we're still without a Mokar. So what would be the Mokar according to those who have the misfortune of having all those three assumptions and therefore not having a Mokar? What would be the alternative to the Mokar? The Tayer Rebbe, I don't know how much you can concentrate moving around and getting everything clean post Shabbos. No, maybe it's Kedai to concentrate a little bit. I'm telling you, man, everybody's busy here.
Buddy, I concentrate better when I move.
Yes, okay. If you do, then by all means. I only want you to concentrate. I don't want you to stand still. If you concentrate better standing on your head, that would be fine. All right. So we need another marker. So what are we going to do? So it must be, minazir, we cannot learn out that S is dochalot aseva ase for the same reason. So then that's exactly what I'm doing. I'm saying you can't learn out anything from nazir. Same question. So now what are you going to do? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go back to the first pasuk. That's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to explain to you why you can learn out from that pasuk, even if you don't hold the Tanna Dvei Rabbi Shmuel. Okay? Let's go back to that first pasuk. Elul Yerlam Mikra Kama. I say, let's go back to Kalayim Betzitzis. Okay? Now, you said that according to the Tanna Dvei Rabbi Shmuel, and only according to the Tanna Dvei Rabbi Shmuel, I have this Tzemer Upishtim is extra, right? But according to Rabbanan, who need the Tzemer Upishtim to teach me Tzemer Upishtim, because they don't hold that every mention of Beged is by definition Tzemer Upishtim. So I'm going to tell you that no, even according to Rabbanan, the pasuk is absolutely clear that it's talking too much in order to open up the door to La'afnuye, to make it extra in order to stress smuchim. And what is that? Because look, if in Cain, if it's not being extra, then why doesn't the pasuk simply say tzitzit, like it says back in the parsha of tzitzit? Everybody knows about tzitzit. Now all of a sudden we find out there's something new. Gedilim. Now what the heck is that all about? So the Torah is clearly trying to confuse us by saying, well, let's actually expand the envelope a little bit, and instead of thinking in old-fashioned ways about tzitzit, let's talk about gedilim. So why is it doing that? Because it wants me to rethink the whole sugya lafnuye in order for me to be able to say, see, it must be that everything is new because of the smuchim, and therefore I'll darshan the smuchim. So I don't need the Tanna Dvei Rabbi Shmuel to excuse the fact of the smuchim. See? No, I don't see, because Gedilim comes to teach me all kinds of very important things. How do you know how many strings are supposed to be in tzitzis? Tell me. Huh? And how do you know that you're supposed to have this weird fringy kind of thing, and then the little string sticking out so it looks like a squid? Where'd you get all of that stuff from? So that comes from Gedilim. Everyone who said Gedilim, you wouldn't have known that. Because that's Lishiura Hudiata, Gedil. The word Gedil itself is a braid. Can you make a braid with less than two? No, it's not braided by definition, right? So gedil itself would be two braided. Now, when you say gedilim, you mean a double two. So now we've got a four, okay? So now I know I have to start with four strings. Then it says petil. Now, petil means that you bend it over and put it through a hole, because it's got to be petilim. That means you've got to have these separate braids hanging down. So it means you put it through a hole. Now you've got two of them. That gives me eight. So, okay, that's how I know the whole idea, right? I mean, if I wouldn't have had that, would I know it? And would I know that the tilim, these separate tilim, that they're supposed to be separable? That tells me part of it is meant to be a braid. Part of it is meant to, that's a super braid. And part of it is meant to be these ptilim that are coming out. And that's where we get the whole shape of the tzitzis from. So what do you mean? Why does it say gedilim? What a naive question. Because it says gedilim, not to teach me the din of smichas. Forget it. Let's go back to Tanit Verabishma. No, don't go back so fast. Because look, couldn't it just have said, lo tilbash tzemro pishtim yachda? What's the shatnez, Jazz? I mean, where do we get the shatnez, right? So, okay, you like the gedilim, I understand. I made a mistake. But certainly the shatnez, isn't that a weird word? I mean, like, so what's that? All the information is there. If you would have just said, lo tilbash tzemro upishtim, that would be sufficient, right? What's this idea of shatnez? Lomali. Shmarmin alaf nuye. No, not true. Also, a naive question, because that is a very important word. That word teaches me something that otherwise I wouldn't have known, Lagabi, the din of Kilayim, because I need to know that Kilayim is only usser because of Shua, Tavui, Venus. You're not going to be chayev for wearing shatnez, meaning the mixture of the wool and the linen, unless it is all smooth first, spun and woven together. And if it isn't, and this is a notrikun, right? Sha'atnez, shua, tavui, vinoz. Okay, so then if you don't do that, if you don't have that, then it is not considered to be. Oh, I skipped, excuse me, right? I skipped to Yachtov. Sorry, I jumped. Please, let's go back. Says the Gemara, in Cain, lemakro lo tilbash shatnez tzemro upishtim. I skipped the piece. Why does it say yachdav? So this yachdav, tzemro upishtim, it says don't wear it shatnez, so that means yachdav is obvious. Shema, I mean, it's not telling me never wear wool and never wear linen. It's telling me don't wear wool and linen together, mixed. So that's shema min alaf nuye. Therefore, it must be that it's to teach me that it's an extra pasuk, and therefore, esedocha lo ta'aseh. No, because I need yachtov also. Yachtov means that it has to be well connected. So let's imagine a situation where you put one stitch through a wool piece of cloth and a linen piece of cloth, and you only put it together with one needle-carrying thread. That's all. And then you tie it. That is not considered to be tkifa achat eno chibur. You need to make an actual stitch in it. Put your needle through twice so that it is a strong chibur, but one is not considered to be a chibur, and therefore it would not be sha'at neis. So that I need to know from Yachtov. Okay, so there you go. Now back to what I said before where I jumped. Says the Gemara, okay, but still, why doesn't it say this, the idea of sha'atnez? It could have said, lo tilbash tzemru pishtim yachdav. That is sha'atnez. What are you throwing in the word now of sha'atnez? Lo tilbash sha'atnez tzemru pishtim yachdav. No, I need that also, because I need to know that it has to be shua tavi venus. So it's not considered to be, unless, now there is a machlokas we've shown in what this means, right? According to Rashi, it means you have to do this to the tzemer and pishtim together. So that means you have to first have the raw wool and the raw linen, then you comb them together to smooth them, and then you spin them together, and then you weave that mixture into a weave to make a baguette. Okay, that would be the only way to be actually chayev on shatnez b'deraisa. However, there's many Rishonim that show that Rashi is wrong from so many different places. I mean, first of all, this would mean that tzitzis doesn't have to be sure. Tzitzis doesn't have to be shatnez, because it's not sure to have even oats together. I'm putting through a bit of tcheles into a bit of a beget of pishtim. So how in the world is that sure to have even oats? Along with dozens of other questions from other Gemaras. In any event, most learn because of that, that the Shua Tavi Venoz is separately to the linen and to the wool, and then you mix them together. It doesn't mean they have to do all of that together. Okay, fine. But this is not particularly our sugya, because there's a lot of different approaches to it. And especially the Rambam Shita is any of these three things are enough. Not it needs to be Shua, Tavi, and Nos. If it's Shua or it's Tavi and it knows. So Mimela, even if it would be a felt and they were just done together, if you combed them together and pressed them and you didn't do the rest, it would also be shatnez. So as I say, it's not our sugya, but it's good to know that there's many different shitas about it. So anyway, where's the extra word, huh? Tell me where the extra word is. Well, it's not true because, look, I mean, this idea of shatnez is certainly a weird kind of way of saying it, isn't it? I mean, you're telling me that there's this new word that you've created instead of simply telling me what the halacha is. You create this new word referring to shatnez, and you could have said that. You could have just said kilayim or whatever. I mean, if you're using here the word of shatnez, so then it must mean a new idea to make it extra. Okay, fine. That's a little bit strange because, I mean, since when do we view a notrikun as a riot as being something completely new, as Tesvus Titus? But anyway, that seems to be the simplest pshat in the Gemara. So now back to our problem. So now we have a marker, both according to the Tana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel and according to those who don't hold to the Tana Dvei Rabbi Shmuel, for saying that in this particular case, we have a marker, even Alibi de Rabbi Yehuda, in Simuchin, because we have Laf Nuye, because of the strange Lashon of Shatnez, and because of that, we're going to be Dorish the Smuchim of Lotil Bashanes, Semrul Pishtim Yachrab. Together, this is with the Gedilim Tasalach. Okay, great. So now we know that Esa is Docha Alotaseh, but that doesn't give us a reason for why we need Aleha, because Aleha was coming to tell me that you are not allowed to take any of the other Arayot, like Achot Isha. You cannot take in Yibum. But why would I have thought that you could take in Yibum? Since we're talking about a Lota Sashieshbo Karet, all of the Arayot are Karet. So what in the world do I need a pasuk for? I should just say, well, obviously you can't take another Erva. I mean, that would be an Isser Lav Sheyeshbo Karet. Therefore, we're still stuck because so far, Ashkechan Dati Asebedochilot Asegreda, all we've proved is that if you don't have karet, then the S is dechaloitas. But how do you know that even if it would be a lotas sheishpo karet, and that and only that is enough to justify the fact that we need aleha? Otherwise, we don't have any justification. So therefore, how do we know the itzrich aleha lenesra? You cannot explain that yet. Now, I know what you're going to say. You're going to say it's an obvious solution. The obvious solution is to learn it out from the fact that we do Mila on Shabbat. Okay, so there we see that an essay of Mila is Deucha L'Lotasev Shabbos, which is an Isser Karet. So apparently, if it wouldn't have said Aleha, I would have said the same thing is true. Problem is that that is also not a universal and would not apply to the Arayot because Mila is unique. After all, Mila was nichra to Aleha Shalosh Esrei Britot. The entire Torah only has three Britot, as the Rambam explains. And over here, you're talking about a single mitzvah that's 13 times that the Rambam goes through every single one to teach you every pasuk. Here they are, 13 mentions of bris that apply by Mila. So this is something that is absolutely unique. So forget about it. Of course, Mila is going to be Docha Shabbos. Show me that because of that, an Erva would be Docha, Yibum would be Docha, an Erva, and I don't see it. Okay. Now you're going to tell me something else. I'm ready for this one too. You're going to tell me, look, you know, you're supposed to bring your Korban Pesach even on Shabbos. Ha! There you go. So you see that we're Docha, the Esser bringing your Korban Pesach is Docha Shabbos. No. Because Pesach is like Mila in certain ways. Remember, there's only two mitzvot asay that are so chamur, that they are actually mechayev you karet, if you don't do them. That's unheard of. So, okay, I understand. You bring me another mitzvah that your there isn't any. You bring me another mitzvah, I'll say that you're chayav karet, and I'll say, okay, well, that one will be docha lo tase. Sheyesh bo karet. I mean, it makes sense. And I say sheyesh bo karet is docha lo tase sheyesh bo karet. But why would a regular ase, like Yibam, be docha lo tase sheyesh bo karet? Which leads to the general question, by the way. I mean, if we're looking for some type of more chomur asay, isn't it weird that we paskin an eses dochalot asay at all? I mean, after all, an asay is not as chomur as a lot asay. If you're over on an asay, so then eno zaz misham if he does teshuva at shemochlim lo, right? And there's no malchus. I mean, like, if you're over on a lot asay, that's much more chomur. So, I mean, in general, it seems that the issue of how chomer it is should not be an issue at all. If we're going to say that a mitzvah that doesn't have that chomra is going to be docha lo tase, which is more chomer, except in this particular case, you know? But now that you've brought up the fact that Pesach and Mila have karet, and that that is an issue, so now I'm starting to wonder, thinking about it, I mean, why indeed would a mitzvah saseh, which is nowhere near as chomer as a lotas, so you never get malchus for mitzvah saseh, why would it be docha lotas? We're used to looking in terms of chumra to decide what we should do. This is more chomer, so let's be zoyer on that. So what's the pshat? So this the Ramban actually explains back in the Parshas Yisro. The Ramban says, look, the point is that any mitzvah lo ta'ase is, if you understand the difference, he speaks out in terms of Shabbos, is Zohar v'Shomar. So that Shomar is the mitzvah ta'ase, and the Zohar of Zohar is the mitzvah ta'ase, and the Shomar is the mitzvah lo ta'ase, right? So he points out that, of course, if you go out to do against HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon, obviously that is going to be more chamur than passively not doing something. And in general, as the Ramban puts it, love is always more valuable than doing things because you've been told to and you're worried about not listening. So obviously, let's say somebody has an adon that tells him, don't you dare drive my car without my permission. Okay, I mean, you go steal the keys and drive the car, you're in big trouble, right? But suppose this same guy who knows that the adon likes to have fresh bread in the morning. He runs out and gets him the fresh bread and so on and so forth. That's an act of love. That's an act of care. So care is more chomer, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu is happier with it than just listening what not to do. Anybody can listen what not to do. But show me that it matters to you what I want. That's the idea of reyus that's in the mitzvahs. That's how the Ramban explains it. So it isn't a function of chomor or not chomor until we get to this question of, okay, but how do I know that this is true, even the gabe chorus? Then the chorus in the asay becomes an important nekuda, because yes, that makes up for the fact that this is obviously something that is so important to me that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay. Now, I know what you're also going to say. See, I've got a few things that I want to talk out, because I know what you're thinking, and it's wrong. You're going to say, well, look, I mean, isn't there a mitzvah to bring a carbon tamid every single day? And I bring it on Shabbos. Why do I bring it on Shabbos? Huh? Must be because es is docha lo ta'aseh, right? But that's not true, because it could be that something that is tadir, meaning something that has to be done every single day, twice a day, that's different. Remember that tadir is always an important element in determining what comes first and chumra avinyanim. So the tamid, okay, bring me another thing that's tadir like the tamid, and then we can start talking about whether you're going to be able to learn out that an es is docha lo ta'aseh. Es that is tadir, you want to tell me es that is tadir is docha, fine. What does that have to do with yibum? Obviously, you don't do Yibum every day, and certainly not twice a day. So I've got to have a lot of brothers to do that. So what in the world is Uriah from Tamid? And I know the next step, of course. Everybody who's learned Gemara, even for just a month, already knows the next step. Well, we can't learn out from any one of these, Mila, Pesach, Tamid, but how about if we start grouping them together and then we learn it out with the Mametzin and with the Mahatzat, right? So let's try to do that, and I'll show you can't even do that. Okay, so Michal Elohas, let's put two of them together. Okay, give me the two. Go ahead, pick a card. Which one would you like? All right, let's try Mila and Pesach. Nope, both of those are Kores. Sorry. So they share a common denominator. We'd only be able to learn. All right, Pesach and Tamid. Nope. Pesach and Tamid are both being done because it's part of Hegdash. So that's the Gavoa. That's much more Chomer. Okay, Mila and Tamid. How about that? Nope. Mila and Tamid are also Chomer because both Mila and Tamid were there before the Torah was even given. At least if you hold that Ola Shikru V'Yisrael B'Midbar Olas Tamid Havay, which takes us back to Chagiga, we won't forget about that. So if that was the carbon that was brought on Har Sinai, so even together. Okay, but let's put all three together. What are you going to do then? Because if you put all three together, Mikulonami, I can't prove it either. Why? Because the truth is all of these mitzvahs were together. Wasn't there a Pesach also before Kabbalah Sotera? I seem to recall something about going out of Egypt or something or another. So there was obviously that mitzvah, the mitzvah of Mila given long before, and the fact that the Tamid was, so this is no good. So we're still stuck. How do we know that there is an excuse for needing Aleha to teach me not to marry an Erva in the act of Yibum? Why do I need that? Obviously, if it's a lotas hashesh bo karet, you don't have any basis for suggesting that I should in the first place. I got an idea. Okay, here's the idea. Suppose your father tells you that you should go and be mechalel Shabbos to get him a steak. Now, you have a mitzvah of kibbut aveim. Okay, now we know that we don't cook that steak on Shabbos, right? So how do we know that? So look at the price. The price is like this. Yochol yehei kibbut aveim doche Shabbat. Talmud omar, ish imo v'aviv tirahu. So far, so good. But then it throws in, as a total non sequitur, l'chora, right? Ve'et shabto tai tishmoru ani Hashem. What is that? So therefore, it must be coming to tell me that, listen here, guys, Ani Hashem, it's all very nice that daddy wants a steak. I say no. Okay, so don't bring daddy a steak, because kulchem chayavim b'chvodi. Now, apparently, what we're talking about is the guy's father said to him, go shecht an animal, cook a steak, whatever, right? And the only reason that we're saying that you don't do that is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote, by the way, that's Rashi's approach, is that it's the Ani Hashem. The Ramban's approach is that it's Tishmoru come hell or high water. But okay, we won't worry about that right now. So mashma, that without that special din, that I would in fact have said that I should be Mechalo Shabbos, which is an Issur Kores, in order to bring daddy a steak. So apparently we will be over on an Isser Karet, unless we have a special pasuk. That's why we need a special pasuk here. Here the pasuk is Aleha. Over there, when it came to the din of Kibbut Aveim, it was the other pasuk of Ani Hashem. So, assuming that that's what it's talking about, then it's implying that Lo Tasah Shesh Bo Karet needs a special pasuk to tell me not to be over it. Perfect for our purposes, except for one minor detail. Who says that he told you to shecht an animal to get a steak or even to barbecue a steak? Maybe daddy doesn't want you to do that. So maybe what he's talking about is, could you please bring in Betsy the cow, who is carrying a load of steaks on her back because I'm really hungry. So what's the big deal? The big deal is that that's an Isser, because you're not allowed to be Mechamer Achar Be'emto, and Betsy's not supposed to be carrying your steaks on Shabbos. But that is certainly not an Isser Kores. So maybe the point is that it's telling you, don't bring Daddy the steak, even if it only involves coaxing Betsy. Maybe that's the shot. Therefore, it's not a riot from your law. Maybe it's only talking about Lav de Mechamer. So wait, so what are you saying? And if it's a Lav de Mechamer, so then you're not going to be over on that to get Daddy a steak? Why not? That's just a regular Lav. Why wouldn't, in fact, Esa be Dochalotasa? I mean, if you're telling me, Afilo Achi Lo Dachi, that you're not supposed to bring him the steak, so then wouldn't that prove that our assumption about Esa Dochalotasa is all wrong? Because all of the Kaimelon there, Ati Aseva Dochalotasa. Everybody thinks that an S is Dochalota, so why don't we simply learn from here? No, it's not Dochavaraya. The Torah said, Beferish, do not bring Daddy a steak. And if you try to tell me, well, you can't bring a Raya from here. I mean, here we're talking about being Docha Shabbos, you know. Shabbos is very chomor. That's a different idea. But maybe when we said Es Docha Lotase, it meant a regular Lotase that doesn't have that same status as Shabbos, albeit not for a of Chorus. Mechamer. But even so, Shabbos is like everything. Mechalo Shabbos is like a goy, called Dover, and so on. So, no, I'm sorry, but that is not a valid question. I'll prove it to you. Because the Tana himself, if we take a look at another Brisa, is talking about other lavim and nonetheless derives from this din in Shabbos. Suppose Daddy didn't tell you to be Mechal Shabbos. Suppose Daddy Kohen tells Sonny Boy Kohen, could you please go into that Beit HaKvaros and get that steak for me? Can he go into the Beit HaKvaros and get that steak for him? No. The Tanya, Yochel Amalo Aviv Hitamei, if his father says, go make yourself tummy. Or he sees, look at this steak. Somebody dropped it and it's got a great extra on it. Yeah, Daddy, but it's got a simen on it. I got to return it. Don't return it. I'm hungry. So the question over there is, he's telling you to be over on the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. Do you listen to him? You might think you should listen to him. Yocho Yishmalo, Talmud Lomar, Ishimova Vivtiro Vechapto Taitishboro Ani Hashem Kuchem Chayavim Bichvodi. Now, if you were right in saying you can't learn out from Shabbos because Shabbos is more chomor, if you were talking about Lav de Mechamer, how come the Tana doesn't say, well, wait a minute, you can't learn out from there because those are Lav de Shabbos and Lav de Shabbos are more chomor? So obviously that idea of Lav de Shabbos being chomor is simply not a good enough solution to the Lima. The Tana thinks it's good enough. So therefore, we do not use that as an answer. So I'm back with the problem I have. If the Torah tells you not to listen to Daddy, so therefore it's telling you, even if you have a lotase that is not a lotase of Karas, you still should not listen to Daddy. So apparently we don't say Esa Docha Lotase. So therefore we've got a real issue over here. So therefore we should learn from over here that just like the Chiyav of Kibbutz Aim, Ava Aim, is not over on things that are not Karas, so apparently no Ase should be over even a non-Karas Lot Aseh.